welcome to Unlocking Adventures, the podcast. That was really intense.
It was.
I like to be intense. Where we talk all about traveling to Disney, Disney things, parent traveling, and so on and so forth.
All that jazz, yep.
Yes, all that jazz. So I'm Lisa Kay, and as always...
I'm John Kay. It never changes. I'm always John Kay.
Good to know.
You said as always, so...
I don't know. So on today's podcast, or today's episode of... we are going to be switching things up a little bit, and we're going to be talking about Disneyland.
Yes, but why are we talking about Disneyland?
Well, because I got to go to Disneyland. I actually just came back a couple of days ago. So I got to go to Disneyland all by myself, which was amazing and totally different because I went solo and I went to the West Coast, and I was still on East Coast time for most of it. Which was hard.
Yes.
But I got to experience Disneyland, and I haven't been to Disneyland since I was a kid. So it definitely was a big switch for me. And you grew up going to Disneyland.
Yeah, like, I don't remember the exact number of times. My family wasn't much of a vacation family, but like we lived like an hour-ish away. Yeah. So
it was very different. So I got to try Disneyland, which was cool. And so... But John didn't get to come because someone had watched the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I just happened to be in California for something else, so I just extended my time and enjoyed the parks.
Mm-hmm.
So, because this is all about my trip, John gets to be in charge of the episode today. He's very excited. He's very, very excited. So this is your...
Excuse me.
You okay there?
Yeah.
You're good?
The excitement got so overwhelming that my throat just decided to close up on me, you know?
That's not good.
No.
That is not good.
No.
All right, so this is kind of your rodeo. Is there anything you want me to say?
Well, I figured when we discussed doing this episode, we figured the best way to go about doing things, since you were on your own,
mm-hmm.
that it would make sense for me to try to just jot down some questions, like just some generic ones, and see what kind of conversation we can glean from this one.
Whatever. You got this. I believe in you. You can lead the way.
There was no sarcasm in any of that whatsoever. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, so let's start off with a pretty basic one. So you've been to Disney World enough times now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all that in your memory. You just went to Disneyland, so it's fresh in your mind.
Yes.
What would you say is the most surprising difference between land and world?
Surprising difference?
Well, the surprising difference, because you do
just
a lot of
one or
no, in general, I mean, like surprising differences.
I would say one of the biggest differences that I wasn't anticipating was the weather, right?
Yes.
So I know Florida is humid and hot, and year round you're going to get that hot weather. You know, it's obviously easier to deal with when you're in November and in January and all that. And I guess I just assumed Southern California, I was going to get the warm weather similar to what I was getting in Florida.
Yep.
I just didn't realize how cold it would get at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the nice sun during the day, which was awesome. And I got to went to the pool. I got to enjoy the parks. But then all of a sudden, the sun went down and it was 30 degrees.
Right.
Yeah. So I remember I packed my warm winter coat because I was flying out of New York. And I was like, oh, I'll just bring it with me just in case. And I'm really glad I did because it was really cold. So I think that was probably a huge surprising factor to me. Like, I knew the weather would be different, but in my head I just associated Disney. There would be some kind of warmth to it. So I just didn't pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, aside from that, I mean, the big thing too is just how much smaller the footprint is.
Yes.
You know, so that, I mean, that is a huge one because you can literally walk from everywhere.
Which is in stark contrast to World, where there you could walk between, say, Hollywood Studios and Epcot. It's a long walk.
Yes.
But otherwise, those are the only two spots park-wise, like
yes.
attraction-wise, you can actually walk between.
And I stood at the hotel that was the quote-unquote furthest away, but still Disney property, because I was at Paradise Pier.
Yeah.
And so I remember people saying, you know, it's a very long walk. It's a big walk. And I was preparing myself for that. And it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And then I remember, because I was park hopping, and you can't park hop. When I was there, you couldn't park hop until 1 o'clock. Right. Now they just changed it so you can park up at 11 a.m. But I left Disneyland Park at 12:30 with the anticipation, okay, I have to get over to Disney California Adventure. Mm-hmm. All right. I remember I asked a cast member, I said, okay, so how do I get to Disney California Adventure from here? And she just pointed and she goes, you go there. And I had 30 minutes then to walk. Yeah. 30 minutes to walk what was really a 5-minute walk.
Oh, well.
So I hung around in Downtown Disney while I waited, which was also really nice to be able to just be in Downtown Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of, you know, with Disney Springs, you have to get on a bus and get there and all that, unless you stay at Saratoga Springs. So,
right. So it's kind of like if you were to take 2 of the 4 parks down in Disney World, pretty much put them next to each other and have them only really separated by like a small portion of Disney Springs, and there's, yes, Disneyland in a nutshell.
Disney Springs is much bigger than Downtown Disney District in Disneyland. There's, mm-hmm, far more things to do, but everything is also very spread out. So I will say, even though we talk about like it's a much smaller footprint for Disneyland, mm-hmm, there is a lot going on. Like, they've packed a bunch of things into this smaller footprint.
Absolutely.
Know? So it's not that I didn't find things to do.
Right. Yeah. And that's like one of the, because we communicated basically every night.
Yes.
And I think the thing that got to me, like stuck with me the most with all of it, was the fact that you texted me about that, about the story, about the walking. You're like, well, I'm going to go in park hop now. Oops. Well, I got half an hour. Well, didn't anticipate that. And then, sorry, folks, the animals are active in the background. And basically, like, outside of that, like, the weather, and then the weather thing, too, you're right. So you think, like, oh, Southern California, like, I know it's January, but, you know, it's Southern California. It's, yeah, going to be warm. It's going to be, and no, it's not. And normally, like, I moved out of Southern California with my family when I was 9. So my memory of the weather isn't, you know, right, anything great. Otherwise, it would have been like, well, let me tell you. And yeah, you can look at the apps on the phone and it'll tell you, oh, well, it's going to be probably like 60 something in the day, 30 at night. But you look at it and think, is it really? Are you sure? Like, Southern California, are you positive? And then after you got out there, you're like, oh,
but wow, even so, like, it was 75 one day, which was the warmest I would say it was there. And it was nice. I was at the pool. But 75 in Southern California is very different than 75 in Orlando, Florida.
Because what are you missing?
The humidity.
Yep.
So, you know, you're going to feel totally different being there. So I was in the pool, but it was cold in the shade. You know, the air wasn't as heavy. So I definitely, I was nice. I will say the weather was very much more pleasant than being in New York right now, where we were at negative 22 degrees or whatever. So,
yep. Unfortunately.
But it was a shocker. You know, especially if you're someone who goes to Disney World a lot. Mm-hmm. Not really anticipating how different the weather will be. Right. It was much better than New York, like I said. So if you're in the Northeast, it's pleasant. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming from Florida or if you're coming from the South, it's definitely going to be a different experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So those are surprising differences. I can get that, absolutely. So it wasn't on my list, but because this is how my brain works, I ask these questions and it generates new things. No one would have known it's not on your list, though. I've spoiled...
No one would
my
have
list.
All right. Well, you have a big list, so keep it going.
Okay, so I didn't have it on my list, but I think it's important to talk about because one of the things that was not in place back in my heyday of my 7-8-year-old life when I was over there was Disney Genie Plus, which we're used to using over here, and it's almost like an absolute necessity if you don't want to wait in lines anywhere at Disney World. So what was your experience using it in Disneyland, and how did it differ from Disney World?
Well, I think it worked phenomenally better, I would say, in Disneyland. I think there was a lot more opportunity to use it, but for a number of reasons. I don't think, and I could be completely wrong, but I don't think as many people use it in Disneyland as they do in Disney World. And there, that also could be because there's not as many people in general, but... There are, not every ride can use it. There are certain attractions that you cannot use it on, like the entire Fantasyland. You can't use it on any of the things.
Genie Plus free.
Right. So if you want to go on Mr. Toad's or Wild Ride or Pinocchio or Alice in Wonderland, or there's a Snow White ride over there.
Yeah.
All of those rides do not use Disney Genie Plus. So if you want to go on those, you don't. They might be good to do early before people show up. The other thing, too, with Disney Genie Plus in Disneyland is that it works differently in terms of how you utilize it. So you can, so in Walt Disney World, you wake up at 7 a.m. and you book your lightning lanes or your first lightning lane of the day. In Disneyland, you have to enter the park. So it doesn't matter if you have early entry. It doesn't matter any of that. It doesn't matter where you're staying. Whenever you enter the park, that's when you can do it. And so I think that's a kind of a learning curve. So you have to be in the park. You have to make, and that's for anything. That's for your individual lightning lane, so those a la carte ones, or if you want to book your first lightning lane. But the other part of it is that Disneyland doesn't really get as crowded in the morning. So it's not necessarily worth it to book a lightning lane right when you get into the park, depending on the day, depending on how it is. It might be better to book a, or I mean, you could book a really hard to get lightning lane. So like, I would say if you are in California Adventure, you probably are not going to book a lightning lane for Incredicoaster, because Incredicoaster doesn't really get that busy, but you probably will book it for like Toy Story Mania or Guardians. Guardians Mission Breakout. But Radiator, and you should, and you try to rope drop Radiator Springs Racers, because that line will always get long and you're going to either wait an hour and a half or you're going to buy it.
Right.
Or you're going to separate your group up and use single rider.
Right.
So I think it's understanding the that kind of how it works is important. But I will say things never ran out. Like, I was in Disneyland and Disneyland was closing at 8 o'clock. It was closing early for Sweethearts Night, and there was still stuff that you could get at 7 o'clock. So
which at Disney World is basically unheard of.
Yeah. Like, at Walt Disney World, you're basically, it's 2 o'clock and there's nothing left or something like that. And sometimes it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen all the time. But I felt like I never could not get something.
Right.
You know, so I think it just works better there for a number of reasons. But I also know, like, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway opened a couple of days before I got there. And it has the virtual queue. And so I heard people just, oh, I got to get the virtual queue. I didn't get the virtual queue. What am I going to do? I just bought it in the individual lightning lane because I never get virtual queues. and I wanted to ride the ride. So there are a number of people who won't pay the money, which it might have just been the time it was there.
And, could be, yeah.
You know, I don't know how big their parties was. It was literally just me. So that decision wasn't that hard because it was $15 versus like $15 for 20 people. So
true, yeah.
Yeah. But I will say I think it worked a lot better, and I think the app seemed to work very similar to Walt Disney World. It's a whole separate app that you use for Disneyland versus Walt Disney World.
Right.
But the mechanics inside kind of are very similar. So if you know how to use it for Walt Disney World, you'll figure it out.
You'd crash course yourself, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't a whole new system. Everything kind of worked in the same way. You're selecting a lightning lane and all that.
Absolutely.
You can't select a time for individual lightning lanes, so you have to just wait for them to show up if you're looking for something later, especially if you're in a park hop.
Right.
So if you're in a park hop and you can't get to a park until a certain time, you have to wait until an availability comes.
I would say, so based on what you've just said there, so it sounds like in Disneyland, it's much less stressful because, as you pointed out, so in Disney World, if you're intent on not being in these lines or anything like that and getting specific times for certain rides, you basically have to wake up early, have to have yourself ready at a laptop or a phone to get ready to, like, punch these things. Like, we were on a bus to Coronado Springs, and everyone on the bus had their phones out, but they weren't actively doing anything. They were just sitting there waiting because it was 6:55. But for Disneyland, like you just pointed out, there is no early stuff. You have to physically be in the park.
Yeah.
And you say that, and I think to myself, oh, I wonder what would happen if they tried that at Disney World, and that would just be chaos, because you've already got the rope droppers.
They did do it at Disneyland when they first did virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance.
For World, you mean? Or
Disney World.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to be in the park to get in the virtual queue.
Yeah.
So it was like a whole thing when they first did it where you had to be in the park. So,
and then they've moved away from that, obviously. But yeah.
I mean, I don't go in virtual queue. I don't even bother.
It's basically the same thing as a line, just a designated time you get into the line.
No, it's worse because, I mean, you don't have to wait in line, which is nice, but you may not be called either. There's no guarantee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if the ride breaks down or, you know, they get delayed in some way, they may not get to your boarding group and then you don't board.
Right.
So it's just a lot of, like, maybes, and I just don't want to deal with that. Plus, you still have to wait in line. So just because you get on the virtual queue, then you still have to wait in line.
Yep. That's what I was referring to, was virtual queue doesn't just mean, like, oh, it's... it's 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. The virtual queue. I got called. I can just go on. No, no. You're in line with other people.
Yeah.
At that time.
And it's,
you know,
it's still really hard to get them. Like, oh, they go really quickly for these popular rides, and I just don't really care.
Oh, totally.
I mean, I care, but I don't want to. I don't wait.
You
lines.
Don't care.
Yes.
Yes.
But I think that there is a lot of I rope dropped both, you know, both parks. And the rope drop experience was totally different too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the same concept. You get there, you wait to get in and all of that, but it felt like rope drop had far less people in it.
Okay.
And I would say the reason for that is because it was all early entry, right? So in Disneyland, and same thing with World right now, is that you get in 30 minutes before general public.
Right.
In Disney World, it's every single hotel. There is a lot of hotels in Walt Disney World that get this benefit.
Yeah.
In Disneyland, there's 3 Disneyland hotels.
Right.
And so that's not that many people compared. Like, they're not that they're small hotels, but I felt like there wasn't as many people. I did rope drop, and I did, you know, try and rush to certain rides, but I also felt like even if I hadn't have gotten there right at 7:30 or before 7:30, because I was there before 7:30,
right,
that I still would have had plenty of time, because I went on, I told you, when I went to Disney's California Adventure, I went to go rope drop Radiator Springs Racers, but then it was closed for, because it was maintenance, or they had to fix something.
Sure.
So then I just walked right over to Guardians, Mission Breakout, and I walked right on. Then I walked right on to Web Slingers. Then I walked right on an Incredicoaster. Then I got breakfast. So,
which, if you had said any of those rides were Disney World rides, I would have called you a liar.
No, Disneyland.
No. What I mean is, if you had been in Disney World and said that stuff about Disney World rides, I'd be like, no way. There's no
but
way you did all that.
They were also right next to each other, so it wasn't very hard to do it either. It goes back to the footprint. You know?
But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
We're talking like volume of people, basically,
yeah.
Is you were able to walk on all these rides, mostly because, as you pointed out, so there's only 3 Disneyland hotels, one of which, by the way, the one you stayed in is under
construction. Yeah, but all their hotels rooms are still open.
Right, but that's not what I meant, yeah. Though. But like some people, they see a hotel under construction, they go, I don't even want to bother with it, whatever. But like 3 hotels and the population of those hotels versus the, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but a dozen or more hotels down in Disney World that all have that same access. So yeah, of course, just pure volume of guests, you're going to have more at World than Land. So you've already got a lower number of people going in for early entry, because the locals, who probably aren't staying at the hotels, they don't get the early entry.
Right, and I would say by like 11, maybe noon, is when you started to see a lot of crowds. But also on top of that, you know, I went during... in January, so it wasn't school holiday, it wasn't any of those,
right?
So I'm sure it was a lower crowd season, but even we went on lower crowd seasons in Walt Disney World too, and I feel like this was far less people, so
right.
I don't know if it has to do with that part. Like, I'm sure it has something to do with it. Maybe things would be different if it was Christmas week or something like that.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. So along those same lines, so with your ability to basically, again, you were by yourself, so it's a different story of like by yourself versus our normal family of 4, 2 adults, mm-hmm. 2 kids. But because of your ability to bounce between everything so quickly, the number of times that you texted me, say, just got on this ride again, did it twice today, how much vacation time, like as somebody who lives on the East Coast, for example, so you're going to go spend a week out in California, how much of that time would you actually designate as Disneyland, the resort, like the entire place? Like, how many days would you give yourself? Like, Disney World, we'd do a whole week because there's a lot to do, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it would really depend because I was able to kind of go through and get on a lot of things. I went on single rider lines in some ways. And I also avoided rides that I just didn't really need to go on. Like, I didn't go on Dumbo. I didn't go on the teacups. I didn't go on the carousel because I didn't really need them.
That's fair.
You know, would have rather gone on Pirates.
That's fair.
This was January, so there were a number of rides that were under refurbishment. So, like, Haunted Mansion was on refurbishment.
Right, a couple days before you got there, it went
on. So annoying. Indiana Jones was...
That stinks, yeah.
And they didn't have as many of the, shows, right?
Yeah.
Because of the time of year. So, I think you could definitely spend 2 days at Disneyland Park.
Yep.
And 1 to 2 days at Disney's California Adventure, or you can park hop or whatever. I think you can definitely find things to do. The other part of it is that the resorts are really nice,
mm-hmm.
so you could spend an entire day at the we like to take rest days.
Yeah.
So you could spend an entire day at the Disneyland or Grand Californian Pool. There's slides. There's things to do. They're pretty nice resorts, so you could find things to do there. So
right.
I think you could, do 4 days. And be fine, or do 5 days and be fine. It really is dependent on what you're interested in. You could also easily do half a week there and go check out, other parts of California. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
I was in San Diego right before that, before I went to Anaheim, and there's a bunch of things to do in San Diego, and it's not that far away.
Right.
So I think that it really is just dependent on what you're looking for, because you could spend a very long time. I mean, you could spend 4 days in Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World and not see it all.
That's true.
So I definitely didn't see it all in the time span that I was there, but I saw things that I wanted to see and I did what I wanted to do while I was there. So,
right.
So.
No, I thought it was because you and I had a conversation about it, how, as a solo traveler, and again, you just pointed out a couple minutes ago, how January is not exactly peak tourist time. So there is the possibility that if you went during a spring break, summer break, Christmas, whatever, even as a solo traveler, maybe it'd be more crowded. You wouldn't be able to hop between rides as quickly. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you are right. It does depend. I was more curious because, obviously, when you go to Disney World, you almost have to have bare minimum a week if you want to try to experience. Well, what I mean is, there's 4 parks amongst all the other activities down there.
Yeah.
And if you want to give each one its fair shake, each one needs at least a day. Right. Probably more than a day.
Yes.
But
yes.
Just at minimum, you need a day. It's not a half day sort of thing. And for Disneyland, the way you're describing it, with the ability to just kind of walk between the two, I would imagine if you just had adults without the small kids who get tired at certain points, you could probably tackle almost everything you wanted to do in 1 to 2 days. Add kids to the mix, you probably would add a few more days too.
But it also depends on what type of Disney traveler you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're someone who wants to see all the shows, then you're going to need to have some more time because you're going to want to immerse yourselves in those.
That's true.
If you're someone who's just hopping to the best attractions or the top attractions or most popular attractions, maybe you need less time because you're just focusing in on that.
Right.
If you want to really just slow down, which we talk about a lot, is the importance of just kind of being in the moment and slowing down.
Yes.
Or experiencing the Lunar New Year festival was happening while I was there.
Right.
You could just spend an entire afternoon exploring the festival. So there's all these different things that you could be doing as well.
Right.
So it really just depends on what your interests are. But I would say if you're looking just for those top attractions, maybe you've been to Disney before, or maybe you're just not totally into some of the classic rides.
Sure.
And you want to ride the bigger rides, the quote-unquote big kid thrill rides. Then, yeah, you could probably knock those out in 2 days with a park hopper and then be done. But I don't know if it's worth it, you know? If you're going with your family and your kids and you want to just you want to see the characters, you want to do things. I mean, that was another big thing in Disneyland is that the characters were just hanging out everywhere. There were lines for them, but not really. And I was walking around in Disney's California Adventure, just kind of exploring.
Yep.
And Grizzly Peak, the raft ride wasn't open. It was also under refurbishment. And I was just walking back there, Soarin's back there, and I saw Nick from Zootopia just shopping. Like, he was, like, looking, he was at a Kia, like, at a store, looking at things with his handler, with the, like, he was, like, picking up things and looking at them, just kind of hanging out. And I literally had to do a double take, and I was just like, is this a show? Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
He was literally just hanging out and looking at the store and then someone realized that it was a character, and a couple people came up to take his photo and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But the line never was terrible, and it was the funniest thing I saw. I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, what's Nick need to buy?
And you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you don't, as of now, see that as much. Like, Disney World's got the cap. Well, no, they don't have the cavalcades. Excuse me, they're back to the parades. Sorry, they do the parades. They do have the characters out in certain spots, but they're never really free roaming. Like, that right. Sounds very free roaming. Yes. Like, hey, listen, we're gonna bring this character out in this area and just find them. That's great. Like, if you see a character in Disney World that isn't in a set spot, you've caught them in transition between where they came from the back area to that spot. They're not just out and about free roaming. Like, they'll say hello, but they'll keep moving.
Yeah.
And
so it was told. It was.
That's crazy.
It was awesome. It was just I kept seeing. It wasn't like, I would say, like, obviously Mickey and Minnie probably had the biggest lines.
Of course.
But I still kind of saw them just hanging out, you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of somewhat resembled, I would say, when we see characters in Epcot and they're kind of just out and about. Like, we randomly saw Alice in Wonderland and all of those, mm-hmm. or Mary Poppins, I can't remember.
But they still
were in a designated spot, and I remember people lining up to see them.
That's
before
the
they even came up, and the lines were always crazy. In this, I was like, oh, well, look who's here. You know, so I felt like it was kind of nice to just see everybody out and about like that. It felt a lot like when you go to Galaxy's Edge, which is also in Disneyland.
Yes.
And, like, the stormtroopers just kind of walk around, and nobody's really signing autographs or that. If they're in
character. No, but they are stopping every so often to do the engagements that they do with the guests. Like, generally to, like, quote-unquote interrogate them.
Right.
Which is a great example of how I think it should be handled. But at the same time, like, you've got popular characters. It's going to be hard to, like, have them just free roaming around without people ganging around
them. I think it goes back to the volume, right? The volume of people. There's a lot more people in Walt Disney World than there are in Disneyland.
Absolutely.
But it was very different to see all of that. Because they still have the parades and they still have those kinds of things in Disneyland.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like we didn't see that.
No.
But it was interesting.
So, speaking of different, I know this is not something that you talk about lightly because it is your least favorite thing. And I didn't know if you were going to do it or not.
Oh, I know what you're going to ask me. Keep going.
What is the difference between Disney World's version of Small World, It's Small World, and the Disneyland version? Because there is a difference.
Well, I also want to back that up because I went on a lot of the rides. I wanted to try every ride that Walt Disney World doesn't have, but then I also tried ones that they both have.
Yep.
And there are differences, even slightly differences, on all of them.
Right.
In weird ways that I didn't think there would be.
Which is probably one of the reasons why you were kind of peeved that Haunted Mansion wasn't open, because that looks different just from the outside.
Well, they were under, they still had the
They were switching that stuff off.
They were switching it off because they still had the Christmas overlay on it.
Right.
The Nightmare for Christmas overlay was on it, and I can't believe I missed it. That would have been awesome. That's the other thing that Disneyland does, is that they have, because they're such a locals park, they can close rides and do these incredible overlays, during the holiday season. So Haunted Mansion becomes Nightmare Before Christmas's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
For the Halloween and Christmas season, which is incredible, and I'm so sad that I missed it, so I definitely need to go back and see it. But, it's a Small World, it's still a creepy ride. It's never not going to be creepy.
Figured that part was true, yeah.
The biggest there's definitely differences in it. The one in Disneyland is longer, which makes it worse. It's terrible. You board from the outside, so you know one of the biggest things in that we talk about with Walt Disney World, and this also has to do with the weather, I would say, is that you get to be inside in air conditioning for like 20 minutes or 8 years, however long that ride takes. But this one is totally outside queue, totally outside entrance. Which is, you know, the weather's much better usually in California, except it was pouring that day. Remember there was that big storm came in or whatever?
Downside there, yep.
So then I went on this ride, and I was like, I'll just do it. I'll just go on the attraction. And there were a big difference they had in each area was that they had characters from that area. So, like, you saw Lilo and Stitch in Hawaii.
Yep.
Weird thing about that was, like, Lilo was riding Stitch, so I didn't fully understand it.
It's a bit bizarre, yeah.
But you saw all these different characters. And that was cool. It was kind of fun to spot them, and it took me away from the creepy dolls in some way. That song. But then, I don't know. I don't even know what section we were in. I didn't really understand why they were there. You see Jessie from Toy Story.
You showed me this video, yeah.
And then, which was weird enough, and then behind her is a Woody one, and is the creepiest. It is the creepiest Woody doll thing I've ever seen. And then It's a Small World is sitting behind you nonstop, and the dolls are staring at you. I couldn't even do it. I think I felt so bad for the kid next to me, because obviously I was by myself, and there was a family next to me, and I just was like, what is happening here? What is this? So it
ruined the poor experience there for that child.
Well, you know, it's not a great experience. That was terrible. Nightmares. That's the ride of nightmares. I don't understand. I mean, people love this ride, okay? You know, everybody teach its own, right?
Yep.
But I gave it a shot. I did it. I wrote it. I was told that I needed to experience it. Mm-hmm. I did. I'm good. I don't need to experience it anymore. It's still creepy.
Well, and see, that's the whole reason why I listed that was because I knew it would spurn a talk about the differences between, like, how it's not just carbon copies.
No,
like,
it's not.
Like, they didn't just take...
Well, and it can't be, right? That's the biggest thing. Like, no. A lot of things can't be because of the footprint. And that's what I was reading about was because you have such... You have, like, all this space in Florida, and you can keep expanding. You don't even know how big it is there because and how much more they can do.
Absolutely.
But in Disneyland, you're stuck to what is there. And so you have to be creative in how you build things. So, like Pirates is underneath another ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the only way it'll work.
Right.
But so, yeah, there's all these, like, weird differences between... Not, like, totally... They don't change the ride. Like, the overall what the ride is. But there's all these different things, which I found very interesting, right? So,
yeah.
Like, so in Pirates, you go down, you have kind of like a more of a stream that you go through before you go into where you see the skeletons and things like that.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's a little bit more of like a drop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels a little bit longer. And it definitely felt like a longer ride while I was there, and it was cool. And then even Mickey and Minnie's, which is basically a carbon copy.
Yeah.
Was the ending was different. It's the same ending, but the, you know how Mickey and Minnie are singing to you in the car at the end? Or not the car, but the picnic?
They're at the picnic, yeah.
In Disney World, they're to the left of you.
Mm-hmm.
In Disneyland, they're to the right of you.
Oh, all right.
And it's a little bit longer to get around them than it is in Walt Disney World.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and I also, so I started out in the back on the railroad.
Yep.
And I ended up in the back again.
Ah, that's unusual. Usually right? It like has switched up at some point.
So I don't know if it does that.
You'd have to do it again to like find out if it does just fall right back in the same position or if it does change up, because Disney World does, obviously.
But I will say the queue for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is so much better in Disneyland.
You were
than
showing
it is
me, yeah, absolutely.
Because in Walt Disney World, they just put it in the Chinese theater and they just kind of, they didn't really change it. It's the same thing.
Well, what did that used to be?
Great Movie Ride.
Great Movie Ride, right. So they didn't really change the queue. They were just like, reinsert things to the Mickey ride.
And
Mickey
then you're Mickey. In the theater and it doesn't really make sense. And because this is in Toontown, when you go into the queue, it's actually like you see all of these props of that are quote-unquote from Mickey Mouse shows or movies. So this is the big beanstalk.
Yeah,
so there's all these like different... And it's really cool to look at. And I felt like it fit better with the whole theming of the ride than the Chinese theater.
Fair.
Because you were basically looking at all of these cartoons. You were in a cartoon. And then all of a sudden you're in the cartoon because Goofy breaks the screen.
Right.
Spoiler. But in Walt Disney World, you're just kind of in the Chinese theater. And, I mean, the queue is outside a lot in Walt Disney World versus in Disney. I mean, obviously, so it's virtual queue, so it's a little different right now.
Right.
But most of the entire queue felt like it was inside for Mickey and Minnie's.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so it just goes to show that even though, like, if you were to look at two maps, you're like, oh, look, all these same rides here, whatever, there could be subtle differences that make it that much different.
And I think there's definitely certain ones that each park does better.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I think Space Mountain is much better in Disneyland than it is in Walt Disney World.
Interesting.
Because so in Walt Disney World, you're sitting single file.
Yep.
And I felt like my head was going to fall off during that ride. In Disneyland, you're sitting side by side, so it's 2-2-2.
Yep.
And for some reason, it just felt very smooth, and it was a lot more fun than than I remember in Walt Disney World.
Interesting.
Because I went on, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna try it. Probably gonna hate it because I got sick feeling on it when I went on Space Mountain in Walt Disney World the last time because I'm old now, right?
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like it ran smoothly and it was a lot of fun and I would have done it again.
Yeah.
I think Dumbo, I didn't ride Dumbo in Disneyland because it was small.
Oh, okay.
You know, in Walt Disney World, there's the two, so it's the same ride, but it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't feel the same. So different things like that. And then there's just like creepy, like rides that I don't understand them. Do you want me to, like, should we talk about that?
You've already talked about it. It's a small world. So what else fits into the creepy category?
What is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Well, I mean,
what is that? Like, I know they had it when I was little in Walt Disney World, but I don't really remember it. And I don't understand this ride. It was the creepiest, and I was by myself, right? So then all of a sudden, I've looked it up later, and eventually, you die and go to hell.
Oh, well,
that's how it ends. You're in hell. Remember this ride?
Well, again, you got to remember, you
basically, the whole purpose, you go on like a car or whatever.
Yes.
And the thing is that I guess you stole the car, then you get sentenced to jail, and then you're in jail, and then you die, and you go to hell. And then you're in hell. And then you're off the ride. And it's like the weirdest thing. But then also, later, I rode Winnie the Pooh, and I thought that I was on LSD, so
imagine I don't remember that ride either. If the Heffalumps are involved, that's definitely LSD feeling right there.
It was weird.
I was trying to look up very quickly, like, if there was any sort of, like, yeah, it does say here, like, you're Mr. Toad, you're careening through the English countryside and streets of London, you ultimately meet your demise in a railway tunnel and end up in a tongue-in-cheek depiction of hell.
Right. It was the weirdest thing. I had no idea what was happening. It was, you definitely need to ride it, but I had no idea what was going on. And it's like one of the first rides, I think, that was built. I think that's also really cool to just like take it in that you are in Disney, when you're in Disneyland, not California Adventure, but Disneyland, that Walt Disney built that park. That was his park.
Because it was the first one.
Well, and he died before Walt Disney World could open.
Yeah.
So like, this was like, he walked those streets. He was there. So I think that was really cool to like be there in the original, and it's the 100th anniversary. So So that was a lot of fun. And seeing kind of what that park was. But it's very different, and I feel like, and I got lost a whole bunch. Shocking, I know. But like, I also got confused a bunch too, because all of a sudden I was in Galaxy's Edge. And I was like, why not in Hollywood Studios? Oh, wait, you know?
Just looking at the map, I was like, you were looking at maps with me before you went. I went, nah, this is going to be confusing, because you're used to Hollywood Studios having Galaxy's Edge, but then you're in what is essentially the Magic Kingdom of Disney World in Disneyland, and then you walk and go, hey, I'm in Galaxy's Edge? No. That's not how this is supposed to work. And you're like, oh, wait. Yes, it is.
So I like that there are differences there. I will say Galaxy's Edge felt like a carbon copy of Galaxy's Edge. Like, they're the same. The rides are the same.
I think that makes sense, because Galaxy's Edge in Disney World was opened in the within the past 5 to 6 years, give or take, since so was Disneyland's, except I think a little bit maybe a year or two later than it. So it would make sense that those actually felt like carbon copies, because they're probably designed and then, you know, that's how they were like plugged in there.
This is terrible. I will also say, what is up with the castle? Like, I don't want to be that person, but like, I was, and this is because I grew up going to Walt Disney World.
Yep.
I was very underwhelmed when I saw the castle.
Well, it's smaller.
It's smaller. And I knew it was smaller. And I knew that.
But you
that,
didn't know but like, it was smaller.
So this, and this is how I realized it was smaller. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, it's smaller. Oh, it's still nice. And you could go in the castle, right? You can go in this castle and see the story of Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
Which is cool. And I like that it's Aurora's castle. But I got lost, and I went to look for the top of the castle, because that's how I mark myself when I'm in Walt Disney World. I'm like,
landmark navigation, yeah.
I'm going to figure it out. And I could not find the castle. I had no idea what I was doing. So I did end up finding like the Matterhorn mountain thing.
Yeah.
And then I kind of figured it out.
Well, there you go.
But that's why I kept ending up in Galaxy's Edge. I didn't know what to do. But like, I couldn't find the castle. And then whenever they had a castle show, it didn't have like the stage. Not that the shows were bad, but it just was just harder to see them. So you couldn't see everything that was happening. And I just felt like, you know, it was just smaller. But then also when fireworks happened, it wasn't as crowded. Mm-hmm. It was still crowded, but I felt like it was interesting. I was like, even like, this is something that I really did. Like, people weren't waiting around for 3 hours to watch stuff. There were people waiting around for 3 hours, but it didn't feel like a lot. And so, like, when I saw a parade in Disney's California Adventure, mm-hmm. I just sat on a curb 2 minutes before it started. I didn't have to, like, plant myself there. And then people weren't on top of me.
That's a welcome change of pace.
And that could have also just been because there was less people there. But it was awesome to, like, not feel like people were breathing down my neck.
That is a nice change of pace, right?
Yeah.
There's one more I want to kind of get onto. I had a couple others, but I've looked at them and I'm like, nah, maybe not so much this question, but this one I kind of want to get to.
Ask away. You are in charge.
Hence, what I said is what I said.
Okay.
So, we've talked a lot about the parks. We've talked about Genie Plus's inclusion with them and all that, time you'd spend in the parks. So, you stayed in the Paradise Pier Hotel, which will soon be the what?
Pixar Pier Hotel. Yes, it's under renovation, huge construction.
Now, it's one of three, and it's considered the, call it the cheapest of the three, I believe.
Yeah, but they're all still the deluxe level, I would say, if you wanted to compare them to Walt Disney World.
And that was going to be my question, is how would you compare them?
Well, in a way, so there's no motel concept, right? So I think one of the, a big chain, like one of the things I was talking about before, about like what's weird about this or different mm-hmm. from Walt Disney World, is that you aren't in a bubble like you are in Walt Disney World. Like, when you enter through that arch for Walt Disney World, everything is Walt Disney World.
Right.
And you can't escape. mm-hmm. You are basically in Anaheim. So you have to go through crosswalks to get to places.
Right.
There is traffic. You can hear it when you are in Downtown Disney. Like, there, you know, it's not like you're going to get run over or anything, but you can, it's definitely, you don't, not that you don't feel the magic, but it is very different. And it's, everything is gated, right? So I feel like it's really easy to go walk around different resorts. You can't get into the pools per se, but it's very easy and welcoming to go explore resorts. Like, if you were in Epcot one day, you wanted to go check out Beach Club, mm-hmm. and Yacht and Beach Club, you could just go in and walk in, and wouldn't be a problem.
Absolutely.
It's not that you can't do that in Disneyland, but there are security guards and there are gates. Yeah. And you have to have a key and like all these different things. So it's very different.
Right.
But so the Paradise Pier Hotel is the cheapest of the three. Grand Californian is the most expensive. And right now, Paradise Pier is under huge construction. There's no restaurant. There's not really a formal check-in area. So they've kind of makeshift a ballroom into a registration bellhop little kind of shop.
Yeah.
And then across the way is a grab-and-go place. It's not even quick service. There's, like, refrigerated sandwiches and things like that.
Like,
and
airport style, right?
Yeah. There is free coffee and hot chocolate, which I took advantage of. But so there's no restaurant, no nothing. But you can easily walk to the other resorts, and you can use the pools at the other resorts.
Right.
So the hard part about staying in Paradise Pier right now is because of the construction and because you don't have all of those things, and you have to go outside to do anything you wanted to do in that way. So like when we were staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge and it was raining, at mm-hmm. least we were in a hotel and didn't really have to go anywhere.
Right.
It was raining in Paradise Pier and I wanted dinner and I didn't want to eat like a quick grab and go thing. I had to leave and go somewhere.
Right.
So that kind of stunk. But it was cheaper, and I got to use the amenities of the other hotels. So I thought that was really good to know. The right now, and this may change, but right now, your key, your room key, will open up the gates to Disneyland Hotel and the pool area. Mm-hmm. It will not open up Grand Californian, but if you want to use the pool, the lifeguards at your resort who shuttle you, you can walk, but they shuttle you if you want to, have to open it for you.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of a caveat, and that may or may not continue that way, but that's just what it was when I was there.
Absolutely.
So it was nice to pay a cheaper price and use the amenities at other places and try them out without True. Having that price tag. The elevator system is terrible. It's similar to Coronado, where when you go, you don't go into an elevator and click a floor. You have to say we're going, and then on a keypad outside, and it brings you to where you want to go.
Okay.
There are 3 working elevators in the entire resort.
Ooh, yeah, that's...
So I waited for a very long time to get elevators. You cannot go up the stairs. You can only go down them. I don't know. It was very confusing. So I had to wait for the elevator every single time. So that was frustrating, but I made it work. I figured out. I think it was easier because it was just me. There was somebody who was trying to come onto the elevator when he was getting on the elevator with me, and apparently he had been waiting, and he had 3 elevators passing by because he was coming with a stroller and kids and stuff. So it was just me. I could fit on any elevator, just me.
Yep.
So that was a challenge. But the advantage also for Paradise Pier right now, and I hope they keep this, is that you have a, kind of not a secret, but you have a special path into Disney's California Adventure, which you don't have with Disneyland Hotel.
Right.
So Grand Californian is basically right next door to Disney's California Adventure, and they have an entrance in as well. If you're at Paradise Pier, you walk towards Grand Californian, which is not very far. It's like a 5-minute walk. And then there's a separate entrance into California Adventure just for Paradise Pier people.
Interesting.
So it's really nice because you get to be right there versus for Disneyland guests, you have to go through Downtown Disney, and then you get to Disney's California Adventure.
Right.
But for Paradise Pier, you have to go walk around like towards Disneyland Hotel and then get in that way. So it's not that it's far. It's like probably 10-minute walk to get to Disneyland.
Right.
But it's, it was really easy to get to Disney's California Adventure, which was very good because I wanted to rope drop a lot of big ticket items there.
Sure.
But the hotel itself was fine. I mean, my view was them doing the construction on the pool.
Shocking.
So that was not great. But the beds were comfortable. Everything was fine. So to save money, I think it's a really great opportunity. I would say if you want to go luxury, Grand Californian is the way to go. Clearly. I went and used the spa there, which was awesome. So I actually spent less money in my room so I could spend more money on other things.
Yeah.
So that's why I went and checked out the spa, which I could talk about that in a whole its own way, but it was nice to kind of do that. And then I spent a whole entire day at the pool in Disneyland. Right. So I got to experience the monorail pool, slides, and things that they had there, which was really cool.
Nice.
And it was really easy to go get food. You could also get food delivered if you wanted to. So it's just, it's not as luxurious as it could, that's deluxe right now as it could be.
Sure.
But once the construction is done, but I don't think it's done until like 2024.
Oof.
But I also don't know how much it's going to cost, right? So right now, if you want to stay on property, I think Paradise Pier or the Disneyland Hotel are really good choices. If you want to spring for a little bit more, Grand Californian is a beautiful hotel. There's somebody playing the piano in the lobby.
Right.
So it's very fancy. I would say it felt kind of like a mix between Grand Floridian because of the pianist.
Yeah.
And Polynesian because of the look of it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So, but I also never felt like in Grand Floridian, there were people walking around, I felt like in suits.
Yeah.
I never felt like out of place in Grand Californian.
Okay.
As I did in Grand Floridian.
Right.
But I do think it was nice to do that. And you got the perks, you got to go in early and all of that, like I said, which was really cool.
So you would say that the 3 Disneyland hotels are basically deluxe equivalents.
Yes.
If those were in Disney World, they'd be
deluxe. You don't get a balcony. You get a balcony in Grand Californian.
Shocking, yeah.
There is no balconies in Paradise Pier. I can't tell you if there will be when it reopens as the other one, but there isn't, aren't ones now. And the but and the other thing with Paradise Pier is that the rooms are big.
Surprising. So
they, I wanted to get a king size room, and they were like, we don't really have those because this is really meant for families to come. So my room was two double beds or two queen size beds.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe they were double, and a pull out bed.
Oh yeah, okay.
So it could easily sleep five people.
Right.
And it didn't feel cramped in there. So it was very nice.
That's good though.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're about at the 50-minute mark of the show here.
Okay.
So I thought we would just like kind of wrap it up a little bit because this is a good kind of like compare and contrast between World and Land thus far. And so I guess what I want to ask is like your overall, as a solo traveler, for your thoughts and opinions on, I'm not asking to say is World better than Land because that's kind of subjective anyways.
Right.
But you'd obviously go back because you love Disney, but you also loved your experience there. Is there anything from this past trip that you would have done differently now that you've had the experience of going to Disneyland?
As a solo or if I went with my kids?
Well, it's kind of hard to judge with kids because you can make plans with kids and then they completely derail them because they don't want to do the plans you have set. Right. Like as a solo, if you went back as solo traveler.
I would go a different season.
Different season, yep.
Cold. Colder than I wanted it to be at night. And I think I didn't get to experience the parks at night as much as I would have wanted to because yeah. I was cold.
That's fair.
I went back to the hotel room and got some hot cocoa and had to warm up at plate times. So, and I don't like to be cold. So it's
totally fair.
I think, and also because of all the refurbishments, I missed out on some of the rides, you know. But I also didn't go into this thinking this would be the only time I would ever go. It just happened to work out. I will say I did think of a few things, like if we bring the kids, like I don't, and maybe I'm being naive, but the kids at this age, we have been going back and forth whether or not with Gregory and Abigail at when we go to Walt Disney World with, you know, they'll be 6 and 4,
yeah,
whether we need the stroller or not.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think at that age I would bring the stroller to Disneyland with our kids.
Because of how close everything is, basically.
And how easy it is to take a midday break.
Right.
You know, versus, like, you don't have to get on a bus and do all the transportation. You don't have to do all of that. You can just walk back to your hotel.
Right.
So I think that was good to experience. Plus, because of the way the elevator was in Paradise Pier, if that's where we would stay, I wouldn't want to have to deal with a stroller.
No, you'd rather just be able to get in.
Especially
and
if
go.
It's a double stroller. Because yeah, then definitely. You really have to wait a very long time. I probably also wouldn't stay at Paradise Pier with my kids.
You'd stay at Disneyland or Grand Californian.
Probably Disneyland Hotel. Just because Grand Californian, it's a beautiful hotel, but it's also expensive.
True. Very true.
And at least the ease of Disneyland for just a little bit more is that everything is there.
Right.
And I also think we would spend a lot of time at Disneyland Park with the kids. Not right. that they wouldn't get stuff out of Grand Californian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Disney California Adventure.
I got what you were saying, yeah.
But yeah, I think I really liked experiencing all the rides and how different they were. Like, we didn't even talk about, I mentioned it, but we didn't even talk really about how Guardians Cosmic, I mean, it's not Cosmic, that's
what you're thinking.
Guardians Mission Breakout is basically Tower of Terror.
Just reformatted.
Reformatted, and it definitely felt like a totally different ride. Like, there are little spurts in there of what I remember, but they did a really good job of making it so fun.
Yeah.
And it felt different. Like, I felt like, you go to Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios, I'm terrified.
It's more
everything
horror,
is scary.
Horror.
It's very horror-ish. This was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You still the same mechanics, still drop tower, still fast, still feel like you're going to fall out of the seat, but it was just more fun.
Amazing how that works, right?
Yeah. So, and I think they're both great rides. So I'm glad that I got to do all of that.
Yeah.
The other thing I would be more prepared for is that there is not Joffrey's. There are Joffrey's is the official coffee. Is the official coffee of Disney, of Disneyland, Disney, and Walt Disney World. It is in your room.
Yeah.
And they do serve it at quick services, but there's not...
Kiosks.
There's one kiosk in all of Disneyland, and that is in Disney's California Adventure. It's called the Cappuccino Cart. I found it. They don't serve refreshers. They don't serve shaken Jamaican. They serve nitro cold brew and they serve like the traditional coffees and things like that. Mm-mm-mm. So that was really hard for me because there's a lot of Starbucks. Starbucks does taste different on the West Coast than it does here. Mm-hmm. Personal opinion, I think it tastes a lot better on the West Coast than it does on the East Coast.
Fair enough.
And I mean, I've been to Seattle and I've had it there too, so it's definitely different. So that's probably why, because everyone's drinking Starbucks.
Right, that's probably true.
I will also say, surprisingly, it was way easier in Disneyland versus Walt Disney World to get non-dairy stuff.
Ah, okay.
And I think that's just because it's California.
That's probably true, yeah.
So, like, right. And it wasn't, like, not that you can't get allergy-friendly things at Walt Disney World, because they do a very good job, but, like, I went to restaurants, or I went to places, and I was like, oh, do you have any non-dairy cream? And they're like, would you like almond, oat, soy, or, like, you know, like, it was, like, multiple options versus, right,
instead
like,
of just like,
here's almond, you know?
Right. Well, that's so it was, nice, though.
It was nice to have, like that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think for me, I would go a different season. I would love to go in, like, September to experience the overlays of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be a little bit warmer. But I'd also go in the summer just to go when it's nice and go with the kids and enjoy it. I really think the kids would love it. The flight will suck.
Oh, most definitely.
It was terrible because it's, you know, it's a different time zone, all those different things. Yeah. But I think the kids would really enjoy it. And Avengers Campus is so cool. And there's the Spider-Man web-slinging ride, I think Gregory would love it because the mechanics of it are just so interesting.
Yeah.
And everything about the ride, and you see Spider-Man is like flinging from buildings when you're in Disney's California Adventure. So
yeah.
I think the kids would love it. And I want to take them and figure out how to make it work sometime.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, mostly it's the weather. Mostly that was what was hard for me. Was that, and that I never got off of East Coast time.
That stinks, yeah.
So I was still getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, which made rope dropping really easy, but it made staying up really hard.
Right. You were struggling. I remember that.
Yeah. Like, it was very hard for me to stay so late in the parks because I just couldn't get off of East Coast time. And then I got off of East Coast time on my very last day.
That's how it generally works.
And then I was on a plane that night. So
it's the worst thing about these coast-to-coast trips, that it's usually the last day or two is when you finally get used to that time zone change. And then it's like, hey, guess what? Time to go back home. You're like, great.
But I am glad that I went. I'm glad I rope dropped. I'm glad I experienced everything. I went early. I'm glad I flew out of John Wayne Orange County Airport versus LAX because it was like 20 minutes away, I think it took. Versus,
LAX could be an hour or more.
Well, with the traffic and everything. So if you can get a direct flight to that airport, so much better.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But it was great, and I'm so glad I got to do it, and I really want to go back.
Very nice.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, you answered all the questions, main questions that I had that are like compare and contrast the two places.
Yeah.
And the Joffrey's was a good note. I had forgotten about that, but yeah, that's a big difference between the two.
I mean, there's not that there's not coffee. There's coffee everywhere. There's Starbucks everywhere. But when you're used to
Joffrey's.
I just have a really big obsession with Joffrey's.
Yes,
I will
do.
Say, and I think the food was better. You know, I got to try different types of food, and I got to go to, like, I think the food was better, but I think it was more expensive.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know, and that has to do with the fact that you're in California versus Florida, you know? So
right, yeah.
I feel like, you know, the cup of coffee was a couple of dollars more there than it was at Walt Disney World. So it's just being prepared for those kinds of things.
The, like, sticker shock, basically.
Yeah, because you're going to spend a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also, you know, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Disney Genie.
That's all right, yeah.
But, you know, so the ticket prices are different in Disneyland than they're in Walt Disney World. And Disney Genie, you can buy in advance in Disneyland versus you can in Walt Disney World. So I would definitely buy it in advance. But your Memory Maker, which is what it's called in Walt Disney World, is included in your Disney Genie.
It's a big difference there,
Disney Genie Plus. So, like, take advantage of the PhotoPass people. I saw a number of PhotoPass people just hanging out.
Yeah.
And they were all over the place, and it was very easy. The lines weren't, you know, obviously in front of the castle is where you get the worst ones. But I found them all over. I was on Avengers Campus. I was by the Walt and Mickey statue and things like that.
Absolutely.
And it was very easy. So, I mean, I had a blast. I'm really glad I went. I really wish you guys were with me. It was cool to go by myself, though, I will say.
It was cool
to just kind of, I met people, this one older couple originally from the Midwest who now moved to, I think they were in Nevada or something.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. And they were like, you can come hang out with us. And I ended up riding Guardians with the husband, because the wife was like, I'm not doing that ride.
Yeah.
And he and I had just had a lot of fun just hanging out, and then then they said goodbye to them, and I kept meeting different families, which was kind of cool.
Which is awesome, yeah.
People wanted, the older couples really wanted to adopt me because they felt bad, but.
So old lady's by herself.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I did it.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you're good.
That's all I had, yeah.
That's all,
folks? That's all she wrote.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us. So, as we talked about Disneyland this time, if you are looking for any more tips and tricks and all of those things, visit unlockingadventures.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram to see our own adventures at Adventures by Lisa K. Thanks so much.
Peace out.